fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It is Friday, almost time for the weekend, and time to really get into the games here for Fantasy Week 10, November 11th. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. You know, you guys have a tough job. You make these rankings, and people have to live by them, and they criticize you. But, you know, I think you had the easiest decision in fantasy football history. David Johnson, number one running back this week. Has there ever been a more obvious decision for your fantasy rankings?
No.
Yeah, that was pretty easy.
It's pretty easy when you just leave Gronk at the top.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. Although we weren't doing that at one point this year.
No, but when he's right, he's right there.
Yeah.
First off, thank you to all our veterans for their service.
Please, thank you very much.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for pointing that out. And hopefully we can entertain you all today with a little fantasy football talk. I want to start with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good.
Well, we know you're the ugly.
Oh, come on now. The good, Joe Flacco, 27 fantasy points. I'm pretty fired up about that. That felt good.
It was a funny moment on our FFT video show, our Fantasy Football Today video show. My brother-in-law, who I share a team with, and we're 3-6. We have to win out. This is the one I made the trade of Demaryius Thomas to get Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah.
So we have Stafford, and last week we lost because we played Tannehill. So he sends me a text message and says,
should have played Stafford.
Should have played Stafford, yeah. Send me a text message that I should have picked up Kaepernick is what I should have done.
Right. I wasn't going
to
say that.
He sent me a text message saying, I think we should go with Flacco this week. And so I replied back to him like, you sure Flacco over Cutler? And he's like, yeah, Cutler's burned me before in the past. It's the Browns. Let's go with Flacco. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll go with your gut. No big deal. I'm 50-50 on both these guys. So he sends me the text message as we're about to start the show yesterday. So I show the text message on the air to Nick Costas, our host. And he's like, oh, my God, your brother-in-law, what is he, crazy? Cutler's going to be better.
No. Blah, blah, blah.
Goes on this big rant. And I'm like, look, our team has been sunk so far. I'm not going to, you know, go against somebody who's got a gut feeling. And so it was very funny that how it all played out, that Flacco was.
I bet you were cursing him out at halftime.
No, he sent me a text message. He goes at the half, and he's like, yeah, probably not a good idea to go with Flacco.
I still had faith. Like, I knew they were going to score points. And yeah. They were moving the ball, just not finishing the drives. And all right, so he gets 27. That's the good. The bad, the Nintendo Classic already sold out. Unbelievable.
I saw a buddy of mine post on Facebook that he was in line. It was like, I don't know how many people deep, and they only had three of them.
I mean, yeah, sold out. It's going to take me a while to get it. I already bought the extension cord for the remote, for the controller. So that's a bummer. Yeah.
So you can play with the extension cord.
Yeah, exactly. You can throw those around. And now the ugly. Let's go to Cleveland and Baltimore. Cleveland and the Ravens, 28-7, the final score. Some tweets about the game and an email. This one is from Pinky McFinkelfoofen. Pinky McFinkelfoofen.
Sounds like a real name.
Yeah, very funny. You know it's a bad fantasy game when the announcers have to explain who the people catching touchdowns are. I was like, what? Who's Seth Devolve? Whatever. And then this one is from...
How bad is Gary Barnes that Seth Devolve has a touchdown catch before he does?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. From FFL Sage. I'm not sure if anyone suggested this already, Adam, but please, please, please jump on the Browns bandwagon. We need your magic. Couldn't hurt, right?
You know, it'd be funny. Like, if you come out next week, just declare your fandom for the Browns. Like, just go all in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but now we know it's not real.
They go on a win streak to close out the season. Like, they don't lose again.
No, I got my team.
Giants.
I'm all about the Dolphins now.
Oh no! You can't change teams.
No, again. I'm always a Giants, but the, no more Vikings as the second favorite team. Now I'm a Dolphins.
Oh, congratulations on the win, Minnesota.
And San Diego.
yeah. Let's
parlay that in Vegas ASAP.
And here's something fantasy relevant from Mike. I'm a Terrence West owner. Do I drop Tim Hightower or Rob Kelly to pick up Kenneth Dixon?
I would say Kelly.
Right, because the schedule's bad. And the offensive line, there's question marks.
And Jones could still get back in the mix.
Could. Their next couple of games, Minnesota at home, Green Bay at home, at Dallas, at Arizona. How many touchdowns? One for
but
Rob Kelly?
You don't have to drop. You don't have to pick up Dixon. I mean, I think I'd rather have Kelly rather than locking up the Ravens' backfield. I'm not sure I expect too much from the Ravens' backfield.
I would not be surprised if Dixon's the main guy next week, just yeah, based on the way that he looked.
And they've probably had enough of Terrence West at this point.
Maybe. I don't know if that's the case. I just think it's more. I don't think it's a Perkins Jennings situation where Jennings is just completely awful. Because West just, I think, was a byproduct of they lost. They went down one guard. They lost another guard in the middle of the game. Their center was playing with a back injury, which was pointed out throughout the game. So
when's the last time Terrence West averaged 4 yards per carry?
3 games ago?
No. October 9th against Washington. 11 carries, 95 yards.
And then what do you have the next week?
3.8. Against the Giants, 23-87-2, so no one's really complaining about that. But he had a 33-yard run.
Yeah, but again, if he's at 3.8 to me suggests there's a couple times where there's short yard situations that he didn't get.
He scored 2 1-yard touchdowns in that game.
So. Right, yes.
But he only had one good run in that game. I obviously remember
Dixon's
that.
He's already cutting into his time a lot now. He's the passing downs guy and working as a running back on early series for the Ravens. He's going to keep cutting in.
He looked really good last night, and 5 catches was impressive.
Yeah. Now, Do you think all the running backs in this game, all 4 of them, two on each side, do you feel confident in any of them going forward?
No.
Yeah. I think if you're trying to pick up Kenneth Dixon, you're 5-4 or better. If you're 4-5, you're just holding on to players that are going to help you right now.
Okay.
Dixon could help down the line. If you're 4-5 and you eke a win out this week.
Yeah, I guess that's not a fair comparison.
Right. I think Dixon is probably the most upside of
all
these guys.
I'm not in a spot where I'm speculating if I'm just trying to win.
Now, who's the best Baltimore? By the way, Baltimore coming up there at Dallas and Cincinnati at home and Miami at home. Dallas allows the, right now, fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. They'll probably change after the Pittsburgh game. Best Baltimore wide receiver rest of season will be who?
Steve Smith.
Love the matchups for Steve Smith moving forward because he plays out of the slot quite a bit. And this is Dallas and then Cincinnati. They have problems covering slot receivers. And he's not as boomer bust as Mike Wallace.
And you've
seen the last 2 games. The targets have severely declined for Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fear Terrell Pryor or is this just a bad game?
Just a bad game.
I think
bad quarterback.
I think it's both. I think it's a situation of the Ravens' defense has turned around since that early season struggle against receivers, and he's going to suffer by bad quarterback play. Plus, it's not the same with Corey Coleman on the field. They're going to try and get Corey Coleman going, so he's going to get some targets more so than what was happening when Pryor was just the only show in town.
But I still think Pryor's good. The problem is his quarterback isn't good, and the matchups get tougher.
Yeah, I don't think he's a must-start guy, though, rest of the way. I think he's borderline 2-3 guy.
Yeah, Pittsburgh next week is not going to be easy.
Interesting. Okay. Gosh, Dennis Pitta. Wow. Two fantasy points. Thanks a lot.
Wait a minute. He led the Ravens in receptions.
He did? Oh, yes. Good for him. Not terrible.
6 catches for 26 yards. He averaged 4.3 yards per catch.
he barely moved from the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
And he did outproduce Gary Barnage.
He
it
did.
Now,
I think it's very funny that Cleveland became the first team since 2011 to call a timeout within the first 10 seconds of a game. they called a timeout before their first play from scrimmage.
They had 2 timeouts in the first quarter.
2 timeouts in the first 5 minutes. Their first team since 2013 to do that. Boy, it's bad. So I'm not a Browns fan. I'm a Dolphins fan. I am also an Indochino fan. You can't really appreciate how great having your own made-to-measure custom suit is until you actually go get one. You can get one for 50% off at Indochino.com. with our offer code FFT, 50% off at Indochino.com, Indochino.com. Now, Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. They have 9 North American showrooms. I've been to one. It's really beautiful stuff. You can customize every detail, the fabric, the patterns, the collar, the buttons. It's going to fit you perfectly. You don't have to waste money or time at the tailor anymore. Look, it fits great. It's high quality. It will last a long time. Get yourself an Indochino suit. You deserve it. Gentlemen, you deserve this type of suit. And this week, our listeners get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when you enter FFT at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, and shipping is free. Indochino.com, promo code FFT for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. Also, Indochino has amazing holiday deals right now on their shirts, their pants, and other products, too. So get ready to look like $1 million. All right, let's get into the games today, guys. Best quarterback to take a flyer on this week. All right, we're talking past Cutler, and obviously Flacco has already played. You're really desperate. Alex Smith at Carolina, Trevor Siemian at New Orleans. The Saints allow the most passing yards in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick at Arizona, just because of the rushing. And Carson Wentz facing Atlanta. They allow the most fantasy points to quarterbacks, but they have really faced great quarterbacks this year. So Smith, Siemian, Kaepernick, or Wentz, who's the best one to take a flyer on?
Siemian for me. He actually, his best games, his three best games have come on the road, which is not exactly great, but it was 15 points, 19 points, and 36 points.
Yeah, the Cincinnati game.
The Cincinnati game, yeah. So he's if you factor in his worst game, which was at Tampa Bay, where I believe he didn't start or he got benched. What was that's the game he got hurt?
I think he got, I don't think he's ever been benched.
No, it came off the bench, excuse me. I forget if Lynch, did Lynch start that game?
No, he started and got hurt, and then Lynch started
right,
hurt, right?
Right. He had 8 fantasy points in there. So if you just factor his 4 games on the road, just his totals, 19.5 points he's averaging on the road. So I think the Saints are going to score on the Broncos, and he's going to be forced to throw in this game. So I don't mind him in this scenario that you're talking about. And the same thing with Wentz. Every quarterback that's been good against Atlanta has gotten 27 or more fantasy points.
Yeah, but they're
but
so good.
But is Carson Wentz good? That's the question.
Well, I mean, look, Jameis is good. Wentz played really well and in the early part of the season. And if you look at their schedule, they've been on the road so much.
Mm-hmm.
They've only played 3 home games so far.
Yeah.
And in 2 of the 3 home games, 23 or more fantasy points. The one that he didn't was against Minnesota.
I like Wentz the best. I was just setting you up. You look at Atlanta, they've allowed 4 touchdowns to each of the last 2 quarterbacks they faced. Is Trufant going to play? Big question mark.
Sure.
If he doesn't play, it makes it even better for Wentz. Got to worry about that offensive line for Philadelphia protecting him. But I think they're going to come out firing in this one. Sneaky feeling about Wentz this week. I think he could be a lot better than we give him credit for.
All right. Well, here's a cool stat on that game, by the way. The Eagles at home. Now, they faced Cleveland and Minnesota, also Pittsburgh. They've given up 22 points in 3 home games. 22 combined points in 3 home games. They played 5 road games, and the Eagles are giving up an average of 24.4 points per game. So that's unbelievable how much better they've been at home. Competition might have something to do with that, but they did whoop the Steelers pretty good. All right, best running back to take a flyer on. All of these guys are about 66% owned or less. So this might be only for people in shallow leagues, or maybe you have them on your bench and you need to take a flyer. Deion Lewis against Seattle, Peyton Barber, James Starks, Capri Bibbs, CJ Procise, who apparently is going to get more work this week, Paul Perkins, DeJuan Harris, Deion Lewis, Peyton Barber, James Starks, Capri Bibbs, CJ Procise, Paul Perkins, DeJuan Harris.
I'm going to go with DeJuan Harris just by virtue of workload, catches. It's a difficult matchup. It's a terrible situation for San Francisco to play at Arizona. I think they're going to get whooped, but I think DeJuan Harris will get the touches.
Give me Deion Lewis all day.
How much does he play?
I don't care. I'll take my chances with him just on the offset that he does come out.
Are we sure he's playing?
That's the thing. If he plays. Mm-hmm. If he plays, I will take him over the rest of that terrible, terrible group you just listed.
See, the thing is, there was the report yesterday that he, you know, looks like Lewis is looking good, but will be limited. And that just scares me. I don't want to get a guy who's going to have 5 snaps.
Yeah, I don't want to get overexcited about Lewis either. And his teammates are talking him up so much. He looks great. Such a dynamic weapon. Can't wait to get him back on the field. He's so good in open space. And it could really come down to not necessarily the Patriots limiting him, but just waiting and seeing how he performs. If he goes in for a series and he looks great, do they ride him the rest of the game? My guess is yes. If he goes in there and he doesn't look so hot, maybe they limit him. So it's going to be very touch and go, but this is the matchup where the passing downs back should get a lot of work against Seattle.
Okay. This is a
passing downs back type of game for New England.
I did think we needed to update it because we talked about it a lot yesterday. And I think the fact that, you know, there was a report that Lewis wouldn't get too much work if he did play this week. I thought we needed to update that. Best wide receiver to take a flyer on this week. Kenny Britt at the Jets. Cameron Meredith against Tampa Bay. Multiple wide receivers have scored double-digit fantasy points against the Bucs in 6 of 8 games. Or Tyreek Hill at Carolina. I believe the Panthers give up the most fantasy points to wide receivers. Kenny Britt, Cameron Meredith, Tyreek Hill. Who would you take a flyer on if you had to?
Can I go off the list?
I mean, Britt, it's not close.
Britt on that list, but I got a name that's not even on that list, but it's related to one of the guys on that list.
Hit it.
Eddie Royal.
Okay.
Coming back for Chicago, playing in the slot. You know Cutler loves to throw to him, and you know how bad Tampa Bay is against the pass. I think if you are in a major pinch, you can go with Royal this week.
My second favorite guy besides Britt would be Eli Rogers.
Okay, he always in my FanDuel lineup.
Yeah, love Eli Rogers this week. I think same thing that Dave said, but I'll take the chances with Rogers over Royal all day, is Dallas stinks against slot receivers.
I went pretty heavy on the Steelers, by the way, Jamie, so I'm hoping you're right with your start of the week. I believe in it. I believe in it, Jamie.
Yeah, I think I'm moving Ben up in my rankings from 4 to 2.
Wow.
Whoa.
That would be something.
Wow.
No, it's hard to get away from Ben this week if you've got him or not. The question is, you know, are you really starting him ahead of Drew Brees, for example?
Yes.
It can make sense because you're playing against Denver. But Brees has a lot of weapons and he's playing at home, so there's always potential of a huge game for him. Rodgers against Tennessee. Like, I don't know who your number one quarterback is
Brady.
This week. All right, so you're saying Roethlisberger over Matt Ryan.
Yes.
Roethlisberger over Rodgers.
Yes.
All right. It's gutsy. I think most people that have Roethlisberger don't have another quarterback like that, so it's an easy call.
I've got a lot of
Roethlisberger
Mariota questions. Mariota
Me
questions.
Too. Me too. Which... And I like Big Ben better.
I really would be surprised if Brady were the number one quarterback this week.
Yeah, I like Matt Ryan.
Let's give Seattle a little credit, no? Like, how's he going to... I don't think he's going to have, like, a 35-point week. You typically need something like that to be number one.
You need 29 right now.
Yeah, 28, right? I think he would have 27.
I actually think it was 27.
Yeah.
Depends on your league and its scoring.
Yeah. Okay, let's do something in a little new segment here. I liked the rankings discussion yesterday.
By the way, just on Flacco, in leagues where you get bonus points for every 100 yards, Rashard Perryman had a drop at the end of the game that would have pushed him over 300, so he finished at 296.
Yeah, tough. I liked what we did yesterday where, you know, we looked at ranking discrepancies. I want to do it a little bit differently today. We're doing the one-minute drill. I give you a guy. You guys are different on him. You each have 30 seconds to make your case, and then we're pretty much done with it, okay? So let's start with Jordan Matthews, who Jamie has 20th in standard and 21st in PPR. And Dave has Matthews as a number 3 receiver, number 32 in PPR, number 35 in standard. Coming off 2 good games in a row facing Atlanta, they allow the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers, not Carolina. Carolina's up there, though. Jamie, you can make the case. 30 seconds on the clock. Jordan Matthews, go!
Well, you just said it. They give up a lot of production to wide receivers. He's going to be their most targeted wide receiver along with Zach Ertz and Darren Sproles, but in terms of the receiver spot, as Dave said, if Desmond Trufant does not play, which it looks like he's not going to, if we like Carson Wentz, there's no way Carson Wentz is going to play well without Jordan Matthews having some role, and so just based on the receivers out there, I'll take my chances with him as a number 2 guy, based on what he's done, really, for the majority of the season.
Ooh, 21 seconds, very good. Dave, go.
I like the catches, and certainly the targets the last 2 weeks have been good, but the yardage hasn't really been good all year, so I feel like if you're going to rank him in the top 24, you've got to figure that he scores a touchdown. I like Ertz better in this game. I like the outside receivers better if Desmond Trufant plays or doesn't play. Trufant typically doesn't go into the slot. And I just don't think Jordan Matthews is that reliable. I think he's better as a number 3 fantasy receiver.
All right, next up we have Brandon Cooks. Again, Jamie is higher on Brandon Cooks than Dave and Heath, for that matter. Heath and Dave have Cooks just outside the top 24, and Jamie has Cooks as number 19 at wide receiver in both standard and PPR. Dave, I'll put 30 seconds on the clock. Tell me why Brandon Cooks is a number 3 receiver this week. Go.
He's playing the Denver Broncos. You've seen what they've done against stud wide receivers earlier this year. Everybody from Amari Cooper to Julio Jones to T.Y. Hilton, they've all struggled against the Denver Broncos defense. And I think that you look at Brandon Cooks, not the number 1 receiver in New Orleans anymore. I think Mike Thomas has the big game, not Brandon Cooks.
Jamie, 30 seconds.
Cooks at home is always going to be in a good opportunity, good situation, as we saw. And he's actually taken on some good defenses as well. Nothing to the level of the Broncos, but the Broncos, without Aqib Talib, he will move around the most of their receivers. So he will avoid Chris Harris. I think that'll be a good situation for him. And I always like when Cooks is at home. And so I think you look at it as, I think Thomas is actually going to see the most of Roby and Harris more so than Cooks will, just based on where everybody lines up. And so I look at it at whenever he's in his building, plus the loss of Derek Wolfe, don't underestimate what that impact's going to be for their outside pass rushers because of what he takes on their defensive line. So to me, Cooks is the best receiver for the Saints this week.
Cooks is the best receiver. Wow. Okay. And then I had a third one here, and it's not you two. You know, it's not Dave versus Jamie. It's kind of me versus you two. I'm really nervous about Drew Brees. If Talib were playing, it would be different. He isn't. He's probably not going to play. So,
right.
You guys have.
I agree. If Talib plays, it changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get it. I mean, Dave has him fifth. Jamie has him seventh. Heath has Brees fourth. But this defense is, they had the number one pass defense last year, the Broncos, and they're giving up like 13 or 14 or I think 16 fewer yards per game. So they have an unbelievable pass defense. They have faced just unbelievable quarterbacks. Luck, Dalton, Winston, Ryan, Rivers twice, and Carr. And none of them have scored more than 16 fantasy points. Cam Newton has, but he had a rushing touchdown. So I don't see that Brees is better than Matt Ryan. I don't know that Brees is better. He's better than Carr. He's not that much better than Luck in terms of fantasy. So I think like the 22 fantasy points that Brees got against Seattle seems, maybe that'd be my guess. I just can't see it being more. Plus, I think Oakland really had a good blueprint for beating the Broncos. They ran and ran and ran and ran, two tight end sets. You got two running backs who were very involved for New Orleans. I'm nervous about that. That was way more than 30 seconds. I apologize. I'm nervous about Brees. I really am.
I think that's the sentiment, but it just, again, who are you starting him over? Like, I don't know, a lot of people would have started Flacco over him. No, I don't think anybody should start Cutler over him. You know, Dak Prescott, who's been playing well, you're not going to start him over Brees, at least the way I would view it.
So hard to get away from him when he's at home, when you know what he's done at home.
Palmer's interesting.
Palmer, to me, is an easy one. I'm starting Palmer over him.
You are?
I think you look at Mariota, who's played well. You can make a strong case for him. You could make a strong case for Jameis, too. But it's just a matter of where you think Brees is going to fall. I think he'll be in the 23 to 25 point range.
Okay.
So I don't think he'll be better than Flacco, based on what Flacco did last night.
Multiple touchdowns in six straight games, over 250 yards in five of the six, over 320 yards in four of the six. And the Broncos are on the road for the second week in a row.
And really,
there's
up.
No Aqib Talib.
And no Wolf.
The one thing I am worried about is the offensive line protecting Drew Brees. I think he's going to get knocked around a little bit by Vaughn and DeMarcus Ware. But
okay.
I also think that he can pick on some matchups here. I don't think Bradley Roby is a shutdown corner. I don't think Doss is a shutdown corner. So he can stay away from Chris Harris and still put up some good numbers. And I think he can use those running backs as receivers out of the backfield, too. I think the Saints win, and I think Drew Brees is a huge reason why.
Wow, Saints win. Okay, let's do the news and notes. Jarvis Landry missed practice with a shoulder injury. Are you guys worried about him playing at San Diego?
Not yet, but it's something you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah,
like I had somebody ask me yesterday, which I told them don't do it, but they still did it. Was Corey Coleman or Jarvis Landry? I said drop Coleman, pick up somebody else who can play Sunday.
Did they play Coleman?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
If he misses the game, Jarvis Landry misses the game, would you be willing to start Devontae Parker or Kenny Stills?
No.
I'm not sure what they would do. How do they replace Jarvis Landry?
Stills may not play.
Is that going to be Carew who ends up playing in the slot?
Stills may not play. They're really banged up right now.
Leonte Carew could be a fun guy to wind up and put into daily leagues if both of those guys are out. He's a fairly impressive young receiver who just needs an opportunity.
I wonder if Damian Williams would get double-digit carries.
I wonder if they maybe. They could do that, and I wonder if they would move to a two tight end set. They've got Deion Sims coming back and Dominique Jones-Jones, who's a big, heavy-looking tight end who had a touchdown last week.
Okay, Tony Romo not expected to be active this week, according to ESPN. D'Angelo Williams could miss a few weeks with a knee injury. Who is Le'Veon Bell's handcuff?
Either Fitzgerald Toussaint or Carlos Williams is on their practice squad. My guess it would be Toussaint, just based on they used him last year in the playoffs when both Bell and Williams were out. They have some comfort level with him. But we'll find out if they activate Williams off the practice squad, which, you know, may indicate that he could be involved. But if you're looking at it right now, you can cut D'Angelo Williams and speculate on Fitzgerald Toussaint.
Adarius Green, 14% owned. He is expected to play this week against Dallas. Not ranked right now. Will Adarius Green crack your top 24?
I don't think anybody knows what to expect in terms of playing time, targets, all that stuff. Really, he's a mixed bag. So I think the safest thing to do is to get him and stash him if you have the room. Like I, you know, earlier this week I said I got him in a 2014 league. I went after him in the 16 team league. I'm still not ready to do it quite yet in my 12 team leagues unless I've got deep rosters.
Saints safety Kenny Vaccaro could be facing a 4-game suspension. Does that mean the Saints are going to become a good matchup for opposing quarterbacks?
Finally, we've been waiting so long for that.
DeSean Jackson may miss this week's game against Minnesota. Apparently, Matt Jones could be a healthy scratch, according to the Washington Post. I do want to say that I know Rob Kelly has a tough schedule, but is there a lesson that we should learn from what Jordan Howard did? You know, if he's going to be the starter and they're down on Matt Jones and they're handing the reins over to Rob Kelly, even with a tough schedule, is he a must-own guy?
How comfortable would you feel starting him? Let's just start with this week. He's got Minnesota. Looks like the linebackers are going to be healthy for the Vikings.
No, I'd like to avoid it. Defensive line might not be. I'd like to avoid it, obviously.
Right. So you'll have him on your
team.
But
if he has a good game against Minnesota, you'll
right.
About
you
him
might
before.
Gain some
so yes,
confidence.
He's a must-own guy if he's out there.
Yes. Okay. That's the point, is that you can get him, and then once he has a good game, you'll probably feel a little more comfortable starting him. And yeah. If he doesn't, okay, well, at least you've got a starting running back with 15-touch potential week in and week out
right.
on your team.
Right. Exactly. Let's see. Tevin Coleman has a chance to play, according to NFL.com. They're at Philadelphia. Todd Gurley missed practice with a thigh injury. Are you worried about his availability?
Got to keep an eye on Friday.
Okay. Carlos Hyde is optimistic about playing. They're at Arizona. We'll preview that game. And do you expect the following players? Doug Martin at Chicago or at home against Chicago?
It's going to be, it could happen. Could happen. He's been practicing this week. Looks good. He thinks he's ready to go. We'll see what the coaches say.
Randall Cobb at Tennessee.
Yes.
All right. These are just guys who showed up on the injury report. Jimmy Graham at New England.
Yes.
Brandon Marshall against the Rams.
Yes, but I would lower expectations.
You want to sing it?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to do enough singing next week.
Travis Benjamin against Miami.
I don't think he plays.
DeMarco Murray against Green Bay.
I think he plays.
Lamar Miller at Jacksonville.
Whoopee!
Hunter Henry against Miami.
I think he'll play, but I don't think he can start it.
Alan Hearns against Houston.
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm good.
it looks like he's been cleared. I think he'll end up playing.
Larry Fitzgerald against San Francisco.
Yes.
And Jeremy Maclin at Carolina.
The opposite of yes.
Okay, let's do three alike and three you don't. Start with Dave's three. Jay Cutler at Tampa Bay. Zach Ertz against Atlanta. And then a little bit of a head scratcher. We'll save that. I'll leave you in suspense. Let's start with Jay Cutler. What do you expect from him against Tampa Bay?
I think Jay Cutler does great things against Tampa Bay because the last couple of quarterbacks to play Tampa Bay, and most of them this season have done great things against Tampa Bay, almost 900 passing yards in the last two games. It's been about nine quarters worth of football in those games because one of them went into overtime. But they don't have a pass rush. Their secondary is awful. And everything's working out perfectly for Cutler. Starter, his receiving core is healthy. It looks like Eddie Royal will come back. His tight ends are playing well. Alshon's going to be a dominant receiver downfield. And the offensive line looks like it's going to be healthy and strong. That'll protect Jay Cutler. He should have a monster game against Tampa Bay. I would be stunned if he didn't.
Oh, monster. Okay, Zach Ertz. I picked him up. I'm starting him this week against Atlanta. They struggle against tight ends, but I am a little concerned, Dave, just because, you know, it is Zach Ertz.
Yeah, but tight ends have been a thorn in the side of the Falcons, and we've seen Zach Ertz finally get involved last week. It's just like what we said for Rob Kelly. Remember what we said a couple minutes ago about Rob Kelly, where once we saw him have a good game, we'd feel a little bit more comfortable starting him? Well, we saw the Eagles get Zach Ertz more involved, and they want to keep doing it. They want to get him involved in the red zone. And this is a game where I think Carson Wentz is going to throw a lot. There's definitely a weakness in that defense for Atlanta. Cameron Brate scored on them late last week. I think Ertz can score on them early this week and have another very good game. I love him this week in daily. His price tag is very cheap. And I think if you've been streaming tight ends and you've landed on Zach Ertz, I think you've got something that can last a couple of weeks. This isn't going to be just a one-shot deal.
They get Seattle next week. You're not starting him.
Okay, fine. So not that game. And then they've got Green Bay after that, then at Cincinnati. All right, maybe I misspoke. Let's just ride him this week and then play it by ear after that.
All right, Zach Ertz or Fedorowicz?
I'll take Ertz.
Okay, Jamie?
Yeah, I'll take Ertz also.
All right, Ertz it is. And finally, Sterling Shepard against Cincinnati. I didn't even bother talking about him. I thought he was an automatic sit. You have Sterling Shepard as, I think, a number two receiver?
Yeah, kind of a lower-end number two receiver. I feel like his ceiling is about what he did last week, but I like the matchup in the slot against Cincinnati, and I think that's where Eli Manning can attack, is the middle of the field. I kind of like Will Tye if you can't get Zach Ertz and Fedorowicz. I think Will Tye might actually have a decent game
They've been so good against wide receivers.
They've been good against outside wide receivers. They've got great outside corners with Kirkpatrick and Adam Jones, but in the slot, it's a question mark. It's Josh Shaw. Maybe it's Dennard. I'm not sure how they're going to go about covering the slot. There could be a change there, but I think Eli can get some numbers from Sterling Shepard.
Okay. By the way, crazy deep leagues, the Giants like Roger Lewis Jr. is going to be, even if
Victor Cruz doesn't play, Lewis Jr. is going to start.
What's that?
Lewis will start.
Yeah,
even
if Cruz gets healthy, they seem to like Lewis, and they're going to start benching
field
Cruz a bit for him. Yeah. All right, to the three that Jamie likes, Carson Palmer against San Francisco. We'll start with him. Like him better than Cutler, right?
Yeah.
Palmer. Yeah, you like him better
than Breeze.
All right, we don't have to get too far into that. Start Carson Palmer. Darren Sproles against Atlanta. Atlanta's got a pretty good run defense, Jamie. What do you expect from Sproles this week?
They can't stop people from catching passes out of the backfield, so I think that's where Sproles will have a lot of an advantage. So must start in PPR leagues, but I think even in standard leagues. Finally, Doug Peterson came out and said he's our guy. Not that anybody was questioning it based on the workload the last few weeks, but at least 13 touches each of the last two games. I think it'll be 15-plus touches again this week. I just like the opportunity for him to be 80, 90 total yards with a chance to score.
Sproles, I'm going to ask Dave because Jamie has them back-to-back. Sproles or Jeremy Hill? Oh, gosh, Dave has them back-to-back, too. So they're about the same. Sproles or Gurley?
I'll take Gurley for now.
All right. Sproles or Blunt, PPR?
I think Sproles in PPR makes more sense.
Okay. Works for me. And Jamie likes Zach Miller against Tampa Bay. Do you like Miller or Ertz?
Miller.
All right, what do you like about Miller this week?
I like the involvement with Cutler last week. And so Tampa Bay not very good against tight ends, as we saw in that game last week between Laviska Toilolo and Austin Hooper.
Hooper!
Scoring touchdowns. Mm-hmm. They also gave a touchdown the week before to Michael Rivera. And so with hopefully the continuation of what they showed in that Vikings game, you know, where there was some thought maybe that Miller was just playing well with Hoyer. I like that continued, so I'm excited about his opportunity this week.
Okay, we'll get to the three that you don't like in just a second. I do want to tell everybody, though, about Harry's Razors. I've been telling you about them, and I think what I really like about Harry's Razors is that they are so confident in their product that they are just giving away so much stuff for free. If you want to just try it, just give it a shot. All you have to do is pay for shipping. You're going to get their free trial set, which comes with a razor, 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. So that's free when you sign up for a shave plan. All you have to do is pay shipping on harrys.com, HARRYS.com. Now we got a special offer for fans of the show. Enter the code FFT at checkout. You'll get a post-shave balm added to your order for free. When I got my Harry's razor, and you guys can talk about this too, and when you get the package, it's just so cool. It's like, it's so professional. It's like you're stepping up your game. You're not just going to the store, buying that generic razor, paying $4 or more for a blade when for Harry's it's only $2 per blade. And this is all free, by the way, for your first trial set, your free trial set. Again, enter the code FFT at checkout. It's a better shave. It's a closer shave. It's a more comfortable shave. And, you know, the price is just absolutely unbeatable. So, to me, that's the most important thing. I think you get ripped off so much when you're buying razors. Why don't you use Harry's and save some money? Go to harrys.com, enter FFT at checkout, get your free trial set and your post-shave balm. Harry's.com, FFT, just pay for shipping. Three that you don't like. Oh, this is interesting. Jamie doesn't like Greg Olsen going up against the Chiefs. All right, so we've talked about Ertz. We've talked about Zach Miller. How would you rank Greg Olsen with those two, Jamie?
Oh, I like both those guys better.
Woo! Woo!
There's enough of a sample size against Kansas City that it's going to be a tough day for Olsen.
Okay, so I went back and looked at how Greg Olsen did against defenses coordinated by Bob Sutton. That's the defensive coordinator for Kansas City. He did not do well. Did not do well. They know he's a big threat, and they do a great job taking away tight ends. I'm not saying that you should outright sit. Like, if you've got Greg Olsen and no other tight end, are you really going to go to waiver wire and and start C.J. Fedorowicz or Will Tye or Lance Kendricks. I don't think you have to do that. I would do it for Zach Ertz if he's out there. Zach Miller, if he's out there, I'd make the move. I'd bench Greg Olsen just for a week and come back to him and then cut that other tight end in, for a sleeper the week after. I think it is going to be a tough game for Olsen.
Jamie does not like Andy Dalton at the Giants on Monday night. We talked about this yesterday. I thought about it a little bit more, and I want to give Dalton more of a chance because Eifert looked so good 2 weeks ago. That was the first game that he really had all of his weapons. But there are things to be concerned about, Jamie. So who would you start over Andy Dalton?
Oh, Flacco. Butler.
What about you? Go Flacco?
Prescott. Well, no, I mean, I would have said it.
Yeah, you have him. Yeah.
Prescott, Mariota, Winston.
But not Simeon? Wouldn't go that far, right?
No.
What about Wentz?
Nope.
Okay. And
I think they'll all be about 18 fantasy points, those guys.
And we can easily preview the Redskins here and just say, well, sit them all except for Reed?
Yep.
Okay. Would you guys go Cousins or Simeon, excuse me?
I think I like Simeon better. Simeon. I think the matchup's better for Simeon than for Cousins.
Okay, so we don't like the Redskins. But are you okay with Jordan Reed? I feel like the Vikings haven't been great against tight ends lately.
So
not the last 2 weeks.
Jordan Reed's okay. You can start him, and I think the problem is Jordan Reed hasn't had a lot of monster games this year like he had last year.
No, but his last one was good.
His last one was fine. No one's complaining about the last one. Everybody, it's almost the same thing as Olsen. Like, you're starting Reed over the Ertz and Miller crew.
Okay.
If you ask me.
Three that Dave does not like. Brandon Cooks, we talked about. Rob Kelly, we talked about. You'd start Sproles over Kelly?
Yes.
Would you start Bibbs over Kelly?
No.
Would you start Hightower over Kelly?
Yes.
Okay. Would you start Sterling Shepard over Kelly?
Yes.
Jamie, would you?
PPR.
Okay. Yeah, Shepard over Kelly and PPR. Kelly doesn't really catch passes.
And you don't like the Minnesota running backs at Washington. Would you be okay dropping any of the Minnesota running backs for Deion Lewis, who's 66% owned?
Any of them.
Yeah, he's very underowned, people. Like, you don't have to start him this week, but...
At some point, one of the 25 goal line carries that Matt Asiata gets on a bi-week basis is going to convert. I think he scores this week, but I can't trust him.
Okay, yeah, it is a good matchup, but
yeah,
they have.
I'm worried Ronnie Hillman starts taking work away from Asiata and.
I'm curious about McKinnon. What they do with McKinnon and Hillman this week after McKinnon just came back from the ankle injury. I still think McKinnon will get more work than Hillman.
If you guys want to give a FanDuel lineup, we can do that quickly. I will give mine. I made it this morning. I feel decent about it. Not one of my favorites, but it will depend on the Steelers. Roethlisberger, David Johnson, Jay Ajayi, Antonio Brown, Alshon Jeffrey, Eli Rogers, Zach Ertz, the Cardinals DST, and Chandler Catanzaro.
Nice.
What? You like it?
Nice. Yeah, good.
If the Steelers do well, I think that's going to be a winner.
Yep.
That's what's so fun about FanDuel. I have David Johnson, Jay Ajayi, Antonio Brown, and Alshon Jeffrey in my lineup.
Yeah, no, I have something similar. I have Roethlisberger, David Johnson, Darren Sproles, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams, Zach Miller, Will Lutz, and the Rams DST.
Oh, is Tyrell Williams more expensive? He's got to be more than Eli Rogers.
He's 5,900. Still pretty cheap.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one a lot.
That's a real good one. We all have David Johnson in our lineup. We all found a way to work him in. Johnson and Melvin Gordon are my running backs. Mike Evans, Alshon Jeffrey, Tyrell Williams are my receivers. Zach Ertz at tight end. Catanzaro is the kicker. I put in the Washington defense in against Minnesota and my quarterback, smoking Jay Cutler.
By the way, my strategy is usually pick a quarterback and then pick a kicker and a DST and then see how much you have left.
Yeah.
I went with David Johnson first.
This time I actually did that too. Yeah. Because
right.
I was so excited about the matchup. I was like, oh my God, he had over 150 yards and two touchdowns in the first meeting. So
yeah. He should have a huge game. Johnson was the first guy I put in. Ertz was the second.
Houston's at Jacksonville. We didn't talk about this game yesterday. Houston has not won any game by more than a touchdown this season, which probably bodes poorly for Blake Bortles. You don't like him in close games. You like him coming back. So you guys are sitting Bortles. Jacksonville running backs.
You know what Bortles averages in his three home games this year?
What?
14.7 fantasy points.
That's bad.
He's been so bad at home.
Does that include the London game?
No.
It's games in Jacksonville,
games
Florida.
In Jacksonville, yep.
What about Chris Ivory and T.J. Yeldon?
I think Ivory's got a chance if Nathaniel Hackett does what he did last week again, mm-hmm. which is feeding the ball.
Yeah, you know what? I'll kind of transition to another game. So he had a big game last week, Chris Ivory, and he faced the Chiefs. The Chiefs have had an awful run defense this year.
Yeah.
4.8 yards per carry. Now, Houston's not much better, 4.4, but I know I'm just kind of going in random order here, but Jonathan Stewart, is he going to take advantage of the Chiefs? Or are they going to be that much better if they get Houston back? Like, why don't you like Stewart more this week?
Well, I like Stewart.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Stewart more.
Okay,
he's
a high-end
number two guy.
I think that's obvious that you're going to like Jonathan Stewart, but I've got Jonathan Stewart in my top 12.
I'm sorry. You like him more than I thought. My bad.
There might be a move there because I don't know if Ryan Khalil's going to play. That's a big problem for Carolina. It was a problem last week. So if the interior of that offensive line isn't any good, that's obviously going to hurt Jonathan Stewart just as it hurt him last week against LA.
But LA's a much different animal.
Than Kansas City?
Yeah.
I think Kansas City can still make problems for Carolina.
Yeah, but this can easily be a 60-yard touchdown game for Stewart. I don't think anybody's benching him, Khalil or not.
Right, it's just a matter of how high you have him ranked. So calling him a number two running back, probably going to be where he ends up.
Would you guys start Mark Ingram or Chris Ivory?
Ingram.
I'm
not feeling Ivory. I know he had the nice game last week, and you got to love the carries. And the matchup isn't that bad, but I can't trust him. He had one really nice run.
Okay. And we're sitting TJ Yeldon, right?
No, he's a
flex. PPR. He's kind of a borderline number two running back in both formats.
Yeah, but Ivory's the better.
Not in PPR, he's not.
No, you're right. PPR, Yeldon.
I know you guys, we've talked a lot about Allen Robinson this week. You're starting him this week. He's a top 12 wide receiver in standard, number 15 in PPR for Jamie, number 11 for Dave and Heath. And getting a lot of targets, I don't know. I'm a little nervous, guys. Houston's been very good against wide receivers. In the last 3 weeks, they've done well against T.Y. Hilton, Demaryius Thomas. He did score 10 fantasy points, but 6 catches, 40 yards, and a touchdown. And the Detroit wide receivers combined for 7 fantasy points. So I'm just slightly nervous about him. But you're starting him. Okay. And I was going to say Marquise Lee is a borderline number 3 or 4, but if Hearns plays, I'm guessing that's not the case.
Right. Hearns will come in and suck away targets from everybody.
Yeah. Lamar Miller does have a tough matchup, but tough-ish, but start him. Oh, by the way, don't start Julius Thomas. And DeAndre Hopkins. You guys really like Hopkins this week, huh?
I mean, it sets up for him to play well. It's just a matter of, you know, I hope they single cover him with Jalen Ramsey because Ramsey's played well, but he's still beatable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope they don't because Ramsey has played well. I feel like the other guys probably, oh, single cover him. Yes, yes, instead of double. I gotcha.
I think if Will Fuller plays, they can't afford to double cover Nuke.
And Will Fuller is 80% owned. How is that kosher with you guys, or is that crazy?
It's a little high, but you know, we're getting to the point now where teams are starting to not pay attention. Owners are starting to not pay attention.
Yeah.
So,
but,
you know, teams that are 3-6, 2-7, that situation.
He's definitely cuttable. There's no reason to hang on to him if you don't think you'll ever use him. And I don't think he's going to morph into a reliable starter. I think he's going to be very boom or bust the rest of the way. And I don't think he's playing at 100%. And I don't believe he's had a good game on away from Houston this year.
No, all of his good games have been home.
So CJ Fedorowicz is right around 12th in the rankings. You guys like Ertz better than him, right?
Yes.
You guys like?
Yeah, it's not the easiest of matchups for him either. I mean, they only give up one touchdown to a tight end, but it's not like they faced a good gauntlet of tight ends either.
He does have a very favorable schedule coming up after Jacksonville, Fedorowicz.
Yep.
So 32% own, and the Texans DST is 6th for Jamie, 10th for Dave, 7th for Heath. Denver at New Orleans. So let's talk about the Saints running backs. What do you think the breakdown is, Dave?
I call it 60-40 Ingram.
Last week, you know, the touches are going to look a little skewed because they were ahead. And
yeah, it was a blowout.
Yeah. Hightower.
So I think you guys have Ingram as like pretty close to top 10, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we know Denver, it's weird. They just struggled against the run.
And no Derek Wolf will hurt him.
And Brandon Marshall is banged up, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about Hightower? Let's do some comparisons. Did you start Hightower, or let's do a flex? Hightower or Brandon Marshall?
I'll go Marshall over Hightower.
Yeah.
Okay. Hightower or Emmanuel Sanders in this game?
Sanders.
Okay. Now, we talk about... we can stick with New Orleans if you want to talk about their wide receivers. Jamie likes Cooks the best. Dave likes... Thomas the best. We're sitting Snead, though?
Yes.
Yep.
And we're sitting Fleener.
Yes.
So
I can't decide which one of those two has the chance at a better game.
Between who?
I think it's between Snead and Fleener. I'm going to say
I don't think
Sneed,
you're getting good production from a ton of Saints players.
Which one is more likely to get 80 yards?
Neither.
I think it's Sneed.
80 yards, I'd say Sneed, but a touchdown, probably Fleener.
Fleener's just not playing a lot.
They're facing Denver. Like, these guys, I don't want to start either of them.
I know, but Josh Hill, I believe, last week played more than Kobe Fleener, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but Josh Hill is starting to see more time on the field.
Yeah, so Fleener, no chance.
In fact, he should be compartmentalized a little bit, yeah.
We talked about Trevor Siemian. He's right around 20th. If you're desperate, it's not a bad option. Devontae Booker and Kapree Bibbs. I asked you about the New Orleans backfield breakdown. Jamie, what's the backfield breakdown for these two guys in Denver?
70-30.
Booker.
Yeah.
Okay, so how much do you like Booker this week? The Saints give up the second most fantasy points to running backs.
I think he's still in play as a number two guy.
I agree.
All right. High end or low end number two?
High end.
Would you go Sproles or Booker?
I think Denver realizes that their defense is not going to be as strong in this game based on the injuries that they're dealing with and the offense that they're facing on the road for the second straight time. They have to dominate time of possession if they can. So they're going to try and get back to, really leaning on their run game. Problem is, if they're chasing points, that's when these guys really get out of whack. And so that's the risk you're running with the Broncos running backs.
Okay, so Sproles or Booker?
I've got Booker higher.
Booker standard, Sproles PPR.
Okay, you guys have Booker or Spencer Ware higher?
Booker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the Denver wide receivers, actually the Saints, they allow the 11th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. They got kind of beat up by Cooper and Crabtree in week one, but they've been much better since then. How do you feel about Demaryius and Sanders?
Number two guys. You're kind of playing them based on hope at this point.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Sit Virgil Green and you can start.
I will say this. Part of the reason why I traded Demaryius Thomas was because I think people will overspend for him. Now, I'm not saying I got that in that deal that I did because I was kind of desperate, but you could probably trade them based on the hope that they play well against the Saints, but they also don't play next week. So you may not have to, if you have the wide receiver depth, you can try and part ways with Thomas or Sanders in trade and not have to deal with that headache for the next 2 weeks.
I almost feel like they're never going to reach the numbers that we've been used to seeing them get. And
well, that
been
was
a while for Demaryius. Like Demaryius Thomas, it's been 5 straight games with 10 fantasy points or fewer.
All right, guys, I have to go in about 10 minutes. We got a late start today, and I have to go on the air on a radio interview, and we got to finish up. So,
big fancy radio interview guy.
That's right, yeah. So, Broncos DST, you still have them in your top 12. And don't drop them. Although they do have a bye next week, but you don't want to drop them, right?
I would say this. If you have an extra roster spot and you can pick up the Rams or the Jets, maybe the Texans, they were cutting a lot of leagues for their bye week. Those guys are all in better situations than the Patriots, too. They were dropped, for their bye week, too. All better situations this week than the Broncos. Then you have those defenses for next week.
Yeah, actually, I think I would drop the Broncos for the Patriots because you're playing for this week and next week. And then the next two, like I keep saying, Patriots DST is awesome.
Yeah, great schedule.
Kansas City's at Carolina. Very interesting game here. Cam Newton, you guys don't have a ton of faith in him. I mean, he's 10th for both of you. He's 5th for Heath. So Cutler or Cam?
I have Cam one spot ahead, but I'm wavering.
I have Cam and Mariota in a league where it's 4 points for passing touchdowns, so running quarterbacks are a little bit of a benefit. I'm starting Mariota. I made the wrong move each of the last 3 weeks.
Okay. Now, Kansas City, they have given up 14.8 points per game in their last 4 games, which is second best in the NFL. And they've done that while facing Oakland, New Orleans, the Colts, and the Jaguars. That's amazing. But they're still giving up a lot of fantasy points to quarterbacks in that stretch, except for Carr.
And you already talked about how Kansas City is struggling against the run. And Cam's had exactly 7 carries in his last 2 games. So he's not afraid to go out there and run.
Yeah.
That might sound stupid because it's Cam Newton, but remember earlier this year he was getting knocked around and it seemed he was a little tentative.
How do you feel about Kelvin Benjamin this week, guys? I know you like Jonathan Stewart. How do you feel about Kelvin Benjamin?
I like Benjamin. The number one receiver, most targeted receiver against the Chiefs, I think it's the last 4 games, has put up a good number, good stat line.
Okay.
So he's going to be their most targeted receiver. And again, they're going to shy away from using Greg Olsen as much as they usually do if they're smart, because he's going to be blanketed by one of the best cover safeties in the NFL.
Okay, and we talked about Greg Olsen earlier. Alex Smith is a flyer. Spencer Ware. Is Spencer Ware a must-start? This is a very good run defense here. How do you feel?
He's in my top 24 almost by default because you've got to figure he's going to get a lot of work. Potentially could score a touchdown, but I've got him ranked 18th among running backs.
Yeah, he's still a top 15 guy for me. I think the workload, his ability to catch the ball in the backfield, no Jeremy Maclin, so that may be more of a conservative game plan for the Chiefs of just leaning on those dump-off passes, screens to where. So I'd be very surprised if he's not right around 100 total yards.
And I know you're going to start Travis Kelce. Are you going to start any wide receivers for Kansas City?
No.
Okay.
No.
Both DSTs are in play here. You can start them both.
And let's Justin Houston might be back for the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's big. That's big.
That would help their pass rush. And they've already had a good pass rush this year.
Yeah, Dee Ford's been amazing.
Yeah, he's turned it around.
Let's go to our next game. Even though Philadelphia has been so good at home and so good against Roethlisberger at home, you're not fearful at all of Matt Ryan, right?
Homecoming for him. He's from just outside Philly.
Okay.
Tough to predict a letdown game for Matt Ryan here.
Okay. Julio Jones has a great matchup. So not only are you starting him in seasonal, but he's a good, he's the most expensive wide receiver, but might be worth it. Starter sit Mohamed Sanu, 57% owned. Sanu in his last four games has been pretty involved in seven or more fantasy points in three of the four games in standard scoring leagues, seven or more targets in three of the four games. So what do you think about Sanu, guys?
Number good, three receiver.
Exactly. He's a good number and a safe number three receiver. Like, I don't think there's a lot of risk to him. I think he's got a high floor. I think Philadelphia's cornerbacks are just not playing well. So it's just a matter of Matt Ryan having time to throw and looking for Mohamed Sanu, and they line him up everywhere. So I think as the third receiver, a bye week receiver, Sanu's a very good option.
And in deep leagues, hard to get away from Taylor Gabriel. He's been productive each of the last 2 weeks, at least five targets each of the last two games. So they're leaning on him too. So if you're stuck, you know, 16-team league, he's not a bad option.
But Austin Hooper is not in your top 15, so you can sit him. Philadelphia has been good against opposing tight ends, third fewest fantasy points allowed. We did talk about Carson Wentz, kind of a sneaky feeling there that he might have a good game. It doesn't mean you have to start him, but if you're desperate.
Two quarterback league.
Yeah, two quarterback
league. Daily tournaments.
Darren Sproles, sorry, Dave. We talked about him. I think actually we covered all of this game because we spoke about Sproles, Matthews, and Ertz. And that's it, right? All right, Eagles DST, you know, they find a way to be productive, but you guys don't like either DST in this game. I will say this, though, for the Falcons, the last four DSTs against the Eagles, the Redskins, the Vikings, the Cowboys, and the Giants have all scored eight or more fantasy points, which usually will land you in the top 12.
Yeah, they're not bad, especially with the pass rush, you know, with the way Vic Beasley's been playing.
Chicago at Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston or Drew Brees?
Brees.
Jameis Winston or Carson Palmer.
Winston.
Palmer. Easy.
Jameis Winston or Cam Newton?
Winston.
Winston.
Okay, you guys have Winston as a start. He is a top nine quarterback. Tampa Bay running backs. You want to talk about just your overall approach here?
Don't use them if you...
Well, what if Martin plays?
Well, that's true. If Doug Martin plays, then I think he's
borderline starter.
How much do you like Jordan Howard?
A lot.
Top 10 running back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's run defense has fallen off, and there's no box crowding here against Jordan Howard. And again, I'll say it again, the offensive line for Chicago. Healthy, strong, good, ready to play.
Okay, we got 2 minutes left here. I will run through the rest. Cameron Brait, just real quick, Cameron Brait or Zach Miller?
Miller.
All right, Brait is 14th for Dave, 14th for Jamie, 15th for Dave, 11th for Heath, right around there. Not a terrible option, but Chicago has been all right.
They've been good against tight ends.
Yeah. You guys, Jay Cutler, I think we've spent all week talking about him. Alshon Jeffrey is top eight, and Eddie Royal is a sleeper. San Francisco at Arizona is pretty easy. I don't think you're starting any 49ers if you can do that. What about the Cardinals wide receivers? Rank them.
Fitzgerald 1, Brown 2, Nelson 3.
Okay.
I've got Nelson one spot ahead of Brown. I you know what? I watched Nelson play last week and I wasn't that impressed. I just don't know. The only reason why I am there is because they said he's going to start. So maybe he gets more targets.
Okay. And, Minnesota at Washington is piece of cake, but, Jamison Crowder and Stephon Diggs, do you like either of them this week?
I like Diggs better.
I do too.
Why Diggs wouldn't you like Diggs? You think he's going to get Norman?
No, he won't. Because he'll stay inside, and Norman doesn't typically go inside. So Diggs is fine. It's just a matter of will he score. He's a must-start guy in PPR league at this point. 21 catches his last two games. So it's just a matter of how much time he'll have, Bradford will have time to throw.
Crowder's been hot. He's going to see a lot of Terrence Newman in the slot. That's how the Vikings are going to replace Captain Munnerlin. And Newman
They may not even put him in the slot because of Jackson not being there. They're probably going to go with two tight ends because they did that last week when, or last game.
Yeah.
It was Vernon Davis and Jordan
Reed. But
it's
not like they're attacking downfield with Jamison Crowder. He doesn't run a lot of deep routes like DeSean Jackson would.
All right. I do apologize to all of our listeners. We just got a late start today and had to shorten the show.
No, you've got to go be radio.
Happy to help, though, tomorrow night on Ion Fantasy Football. So please call us up. And
Are you on the Lou Lafferman show?
I will answer your emails. I didn't read them on the air. I will respond to you personally. So I do apologize very much for our shortened show today. I hope we still have been able to help you. You can watch Fantasy Football today on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. For Dave and Jamie, I'm Adam. Have a great weekend, everybody. Get yourself a Nintendo and give it to me. See you later.
Bye.